Transmission commence in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Level 7.
RandomChatter.com presents
the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
Do you copy?
Perimeter breach.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case files.
Authorizing.
Just call us S.H.I.E.L.D.
Access granted.
Colson, get back to base.
Welcome back, agents. I trust you've all been suitably briefed on the most recent encounter. We'll be your hosts on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. I'm Director Shepard.
And I'm Director Stolte.
And you've been authorized to undergo debriefing on the most recent mission. Agent Coulson as operatives, presented to the public as a dramatic, hour-long television series known as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fortunately, you're all cleared to know the truth about our miserable, horrible experiments.
They're bad.
They are horrible. We did not plan. We did not come up with a good enough hypothesis. I mean, I blame us.
But let me tell you, I have a little bit of an excuse.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So I'm in the lab.
Yeah.
I've got my laptop right there in the lab. Okay. And I'm working, and right. I'm getting it all planned out. I'm getting this experiment down to the letter, right? And in walks Lincoln. He shoots himself up with something.
Oh, Lincoln.
Lightning everywhere. My computer completely fried.
Yeah, when they said that there were some of the servers that got taken out, I was concerned about that. Luckily, mine was in the little bunker. I had left it in there.
Well, you planned ahead. I didn't even know he was on his way. Now I have no computer. I'm hoping they can get that back up. I had our trip on there, our trip to Anaheim. Pictures of you and I on the beach.
Oh,
you know, man. I had videos. I had e-cards that I'd been saving since 1996. You know, people emailed to me. So
I like how you did that since 1996. That was very clever because, of course, you know, there weren't e-cards before then. Very clever. I see what you're doing there.
So, you know what? So that's if I sound a little bit funny to you this week. Then that's probably why, and you can blame Lincoln.
Are you on comms?
I'm on comms, yes.
Okay.
Are comms those little white earbud things? Is that what comms are?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So then I'm on comms.
They have a little picture of an apple on them, so.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. I'm on comms. Right. iComms.
Well, why don't you let people know about our, you know, kind of about the methodology behind the experiments here?
Okay. Well, these experiments here, they occurred in May, on May 3rd, 2016.
All the bad stuff happens in May, I tell you.
On TV shows.
It is not funny.
In the real world, it happens in April. But on the, you know, on the TV, they have to wait till May for the epic climax. But this was episode 19, this experiment of season 3. And this particular experiment was written by Brent Fletcher. So
okay.
I guess we could blame him. It was directed by Wendy Stansler, though. So I think she had a part in it.
All right.
Well, now that Daisy seems to be showing unwavering loyalty to Hive, Coulson's decided that it's time to go into his Hive's little town there and take care of some business.
Hmm.
So, now Mac, of course, he just wants to rescue his partner, and even he even thinks that she might be, you know, giving him some subtle hints that part of her still exists in there.
Yeah,
and he even thinks that she may you know, be helping him out.
So very subtle, very subtle.
Giving him hints to find where to find her, you know. Well, Hive, he gets his new pet doctor to experiment on some people and turn them into inhumans, but with the lack of fresh Kree blood, he is bound to failure after miserable, gut-wrenching, skin-melting, throat-grabbing failure.
Not the way it goes.
But luckily now, Hive has a solution.
Oh.
If you want something strange in your neighborhood, who are you going to call?
Melissa McCarthy.
No. The Kree, actually.
Oh, right. You know what? Okay, never mind. Continue. I'll just leave it there.
You're going to leave that one there? Okay.
Leaving that on
meanwhile,
the table.
Meanwhile, Lincoln wants to be a valuable asset to the team. Thank you, you know, for like frying my computer. So he takes the serum that Fitz and Simmons creates in hopes that it will prove effective in stopping Hive, but it looks like there's no stopping Hive. Unless Mac can destroy the Kree blood sample and convince Daisy to come back with him. Even if it takes 1,000 bruises. Well, even if they didn't succeed, at least they kept Hive from getting the Kree blood. Oh, nope. Never mind. Daisy blood's going to work too.
Man, you know, I think we talked about this before. Hive is like a big thing this season because that's the name of the organization on Arrow that Team Arrow is having to fight against. But
yes,
it's like all capitals. It's like HIVE, like it stands for something.
I know. I keep messing up my original notes on this. When I do that, I have to go back and change those.
So a little bit of news this week. I saw a story on, I think it was a comic book. This was through IO9, which is over at Gizmodo now. And Grant Ward is actually going to be coming to the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comic book, which he has not been in up to this point. So when they S.H.I.E.L.D. didn't have, I guess, Fitz and Simmons and Agent May and Grant Ward originally, Daisy is a character from the Marvel Universe. Coulson got introduced in the Marvel Universe, the comic universe, a while ago. And I guess with the new series, Grant Ward's never been in there, so there's a little two-page like teaser spread over there. So that's pretty cool. They're using him as a bad guy, I believe, in the comics as well. So now they can, you know, do similar stuff as with the show, or kind of take him off in an entirely different direction. Which is, it's kind of interesting to see these characters that were created for the TV show now showing up in the comic universe and all that. So
that is so, and. I mean, of course, it all started with Coulson, but they did a similar thing. You know, they just took that minor yet lovable character from the movies, Agent Coulson, and have really developed him into something extremely fun to watch.
And, you know, I'm not sure if he first showed up in Iron Man or if he had even been a minor character before that.
So he might have been in the comics a little bit.
He might have been in the comics before that. I know definitely the Samuel L. Jackson version of Nick Fury came from the comics, because that was the whole thing that they decided to base the Ultimate Universe, Marvel's Ultimate Universe, Nick Fury, off of Sam Jackson's look. And then when it came time to make the movies, it was kind of a no-brainer for them to ask Sam to join.
So. or is a no-brainer for him to join. They're like, hey, I got an idea how we could get Sam Jackson.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we'll appeal to his finer sensibilities, like his ego. Well, speaking of Coulson, my son actually let me know that Clark Gregg is hosting BattleBots next week. There is a season 2 preview special, I guess. BattleBots, The Gears Awaken. And
BattleBots is still a thing. Huh? I didn't even know that.
It's come back. Yeah, I guess ABC did it last season. You know, and of course, do people still like it? Yes, of course, people still like it. So, Clark Gregg will be the first guest judge on the show and joining the normal host of idiots over there, I guess.
Excellent. So, that's robots and fighting. What's not to like there?
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of right up his alley, too. I don't know if he's going to bring his robotic hand or not. Gonna get that into the action.
Just kind of screw it on the top of one of the fighters.
That would be pretty funny if someone did that as a shout out to him, I guess. You know,
it would look like one of Sid's toys from Toy Story.
Yes, it would. Yes, it would. Exactly. All right. Well, let's talk about failed experiments here. The S.H.I.E.L.D. episode and specifically the failed experiments that happened in this particular episode. In my opinion, overall, the show continues to be pretty strong. This was not as cool as last week. I felt there was neat stuff happening in it, but I kind of felt a little lackluster. But we're going into kind of the last 2 weeks here, the last 3 hours of show, one episode next week, two episodes the week following. So I'll give them a pass as they kind of take their breath. And I'm assuming the rest is just going to roll, but I don't know.
Well, I think they're getting set up.
Yeah,
that,
exactly.
You know, ultimate climax. And I think they did a really good job doing that with Daisy in particular, and made it crystal clear how far on the other side she actually is this week.
Right. I feel that Daisy is what they're really setting up. Like the Kree, I know we actually have seen a Kree before. I think it was in an episode that Sif joined us in last season, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I know I've seen a dead Kree before.
We've seen the dead Kree, but there was a guy that came down, like Vintak, I believe his name was. He looked like a human. His skin was pink.
Because right.
He had had genetic alteration or something like that. But I felt these guys were a little lackluster. I mean, I guess, you know, they've been in stasis for 1,000 years or something like that. So I kind of forgive them for not really being, you know, 100%, 101% awesome, I guess, is what they were not. But since the title was Failed Experiments, I kind of wanted to look at some of the experiments that were talked about in here, because of course there were many examples of experiments that failed. The probably the biggest one that stood out to me is that Lincoln decided to go ahead and test this anti-hive serum on himself against orders. And you know, that ended up not working. It actually caused a whole heck of a lot more problems, as you had pointed out, with his electricity going off. He fried a bunch of stuff in the bunker and in the off HQ area there and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it, according to Simmons, it didn't work. Now, I don't have any reason to think that she'd be lying about it, but this is really kind of what they put all their hopes into.
Can I ask you a quick question about this serum?
Yeah.
So I was a little, I wasn't perfectly clear on the purpose of this serum. Is this serum supposed to take away inhuman powers, or is it just somehow supposed to stop Hive's powers or something?
Yeah, my understanding was that it was supposed to curtail Hive's powers. So basically, you know, I don't know, they threw around a lot of words last week, but, you know, like his spores or particles or whatever, they get into the brain and they infect the brain and trigger all sorts of like pleasure centers, I guess.
That,
you know, you still experience pain. You're just not feeling it, I guess, based on, you know, what we saw last week with Alicia, you know, getting shot and stuff like that. So that was my understanding. And then I guess this cure is supposed to work to inhibit that in the brain.
So Hive doesn't infect it. Like, it's basically right. An inoculation to Hive's influence.
Right. But it also appeared to, based on what Simmons was saying, it also destroys the inoculee's immune system. Now, I had similar questions about the powers, because we didn't see, you know, we saw Lincoln's powers basically go wacky, a little haywire.
Yeah.
And we didn't see him use his powers after that. So I am curious if his powers really are intact. Like, that would even be worse, right? You try something out that's unproven. It doesn't work for the intended purposes. Plus, it knocks out his immune system. Plus, it also takes his powers. That would really be bad.
Well, that's why they didn't want him to do it in the first place.
Right.
But so earlier in the season, though, they were working on something that could actually, quote unquote, cure inhumans. Right. I mean, they were working on that.
They were working. Right. That's right. They had the formula that they were going to use on Andrew. Did
right.
they use it on Andrew? I can't remember now.
I don't think they did.
Because he didn't want it, I believe. So, and you know, since we brought Andrew up, this thought had occurred to me. I think earlier in the season we had talked about, it's like, oh, it seems like it's going to be a Hive, you know, Andrew as Lash showdown. You know, like, he might be the only thing to be able to defeat Hive. But since he's an inhuman, that I thought this week, I'm like, oh, that would not work at all, because he would just sway him, and then Lash would be beholden to Hive, and that would be like the worst thing. That would just be horrible.
True. Although there was, yes, absolutely. Although there was something about Andrew when he was Lash that was different. It's almost like when he became an Inhuman, he had this weird hunger to destroy the Inhumans, right? Which I don't think he had before he became an Inhuman.
That's true, right? Because he didn't.
So
really
I wonder
have
if
that
would
Andrew.
Have could have affected his relationship with Hive. But whatever, I don't think that we're ever gonna have to experience
well,
that. So
yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's only, like I said, there's only technically there's 2 weeks left, but there's three episodes. I don't see Andrew like being able to fit in. I mean, I guess they could squeeze him in one of these storylines coming up here, but.
Yeah, I think they could, and they might. I mean, they brought him back a few weeks ago, and I don't know that there was necessarily an important purpose other than just making sure he stayed kind of in the mix. But I could be wrong about that. I mean, you know, they did use him to keep May away from that one particular assignment.
Right.
So that might have been the reason as well.
Right. I kind of feel like they need May focus now, so they probably will not.
Yeah, I agree.
If there's anything that's going to happen, I would think it would probably wait until next season.
Yep.
Personally. So while we're talking about Lincoln, I also wanted to ask you, why do you think Coulson made the decision that Lincoln shouldn't go through with the test as, you know, as a volunteer?
You know, I really, that scene where Coulson was kind of thinking about it and then finally made the decision, say, nope, too risky. It really mirrored Hive's reaction to the doctor's experiments. It was like, you know, the complete opposite. Do you remember that scene, right? When the doctor was kind of telling him what he needed to do, and Hive's, he kept approving his experiments, and the people melted, and then the,
right,
you know,
right.
And then, needed and- some Kree blood. So,
right. And
to me,
when he said he was really afraid and it was kind of Hive's fault, but he didn't mean to, you know, that kind of thing. That was a funny scene.
That was a funny scene. That was good. That reminded me of what's that guy's name? John Hannah. Is that the actor?
John Hannah. Uh-huh.
From Mummy, when he used to kind of
try
to sweet talk his way out of things.
Yeah.
But to me, that was kind of showing you how opposite Coulson and Hive are, you know, and how Coulson is more of the good guy, more of the hero thing. Than anything,
oh,
but now
I see.
As far
right.
Do you see what I'm saying from a storytelling point of view?
Yeah.
Now, from the character's point of view, I think he was doing it because he weighed the risks that Fitz and Simmons were telling him about, and decided, you know what, I'm not sure that this is worth it right now. We don't have what we need, and even so, he knew Hive was so powerful that they needed to be sure that it was going to work. You know, I don't know that they could take that kind of chance.
Yeah, but Coulson's had so many problems with Lincoln over the past few weeks. You think he's gotten past all that? I mean, it seemed like he was putting Lincoln in over the last couple weeks into situations where he was at risk. Going to visit the watchdog's place, and then last week by putting on that vest that could explode.
Yeah, but that was things that Lincoln could potentially control. You know, he was giving him a chance to prove himself. This is not. This is like a crapshoot, man. I mean, you're giving him a drug that may or may not kill him. So
right,
I mean,
but he's consenting to do it as a member of the team because his hope is that, you know, whatever they can learn from it is worth the risk.
Yeah, I just don't think Coulson is willing to lose Lincoln at this point.
Okay.
I think he wants him as a member of the team, and I think he thinks that he may be of an important use. So I don't know that he wants to risk that part of it. So at least that's kind of what I think, but
no, that's a good enough reasoning there. I just, you know, it seemed like one of those things where you've got a character that, you know, wants to help out. And you would think that the people in charge are just like, okay, well, you know, you know the risks. It's up to you. But I mean, obviously Coulson is really utilizing his leadership skills here, because even though Lincoln's saying he's fine with it. You know, he gives his consent. Coulson still doesn't think the risk is worthwhile. So that's interesting. Yeah. So
for what it's worth, he ends up doing it anyway. So
right. Which, you know, I mean, it really proves out a point, you know, as we talked about, just the fact that it didn't work. That's and, you know, maybe it just didn't work on him. Maybe it could work on somebody, you know, who knows? I really honestly have no idea how they're going to resolve all this stuff, because, I mean, Hives have just been on a roll, and we knew things were going to get dangerous here. And obviously someone will die by the end of the season, according to the ABC announcer. So,
yeah.
All right, so you also mentioned Dr. Radcliffe and his failed experiments with the humans. Whoops. You know, that's when you have a bad day.
Just... Don't look at it. Keep your eyes shut, Marion. Don't look at it.
Oh, my God. Puddles of goo. Who has to clean that stuff up? I mean, yuck.
It's a little hive janitor.
And then Hive seems to think that he was created for a reason, but I believe that he was really also a kind of a failed experiment from the standpoint of the Kree, at least. They, in what I thought was a really excellent cold open, I had no idea what was going on here. I was like, whoa, I'm back on Lost again. We've got some half-naked guy running around.
I thought I had started the wrong show.
Yeah. So they take this primitive human and do their experiments on him, you know, for whatever reason, to, you know, help create their own army. But then at some point, obviously, they realize they have, you know, made a mistake. It's gone too far. So they have to exile him to this other planet. And, you know, from there, you know, he lives his life in isolation. So, but from the Kree standpoint, he was probably a failed experiment as well, because he did not do what they had, you know, expected, I guess, or the powers didn't work out the way they thought. Obviously, there were some other Inhumans that they created at the same time that they didn't have problems with, or at least that we've heard of.
Yeah, maybe he just rebelled, you know. I mean, maybe he didn't react the way they thought he was going to, and started attacking. I don't know. Yeah, that was right. That's kind of an interesting story. I liked the way they explained that. I didn't expect a Hive origin.
Right. Well, it wasn't so strange that Lost kind of comes up in my thinking. It was very much like the origin of the Man in Black from Lost, you know, the Jacob and whatever his brother were, you know, because we had gone so long hearing about these characters, and then, you know, what was it like? I think in the final season, we finally kind of got their origins, which were unexpected and not as weird as I think we had thought they would be. I'm kind of interested to see a little bit more about the Kree and their experiments. I don't know what we're going to get. Overall, though, like I said, with the Kree, that was kind of a little lackluster. You know, it's just these two guys doing experiments, you know, and there's no one else around. It the scale was so small, and, you know,
yeah.
I just expect it to be a little bit bigger, especially, you know, we're talking about this group of aliens doing these experiments and stuff, but obviously it's, you know, TV budget and that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Also, the failed experiment of getting the blood from a living Kree, that, you know, looked like that was going to go through, but Mac put the kibosh on that relatively quickly. So, you know, there were lots of different quote unquote experiments that were happening throughout the episode that just did not go the way people expected them to. Now, just because something failed in this episode, like I said, with that, I'm going back to that cure. I think there's going to be something else that comes with that, because even though an experiment can fail, you know, that doesn't, you just may just have had the wrong hypothesis. You may be proving something entirely different. You know, there are lots of scientists that set out to do one thing and made something entirely different without realizing it, you know. So
sure. Well, and also trial and error. Something may not have worked, but it may have come close, so you make an adjustment
and try again. Right.
Exactly. Get Lincoln feeling better, shoot him up again, and
yeah. That may not be the best course of action there, but who knows? Well, I guess we'll see.
Can you have an guinea pig or an in mouse to test it on first?
In mouse would probably be right, I guess.
Okay.
Since they work for Disney.
So you're gonna give Mickey inhuman powers. That's right.
yeah. So Hive, we've talked about him having, you know, his powers and the plurality of that people use when they talk about themselves under his sway. They use the term we. You know, he's made up of these particles. He's a parasite. He joins them and all this kind of stuff. And I thought it was really interesting that Hive's philosophical outlook this episode was he talks about being a collectivist philosophy, which is, if you look up collectivism, it is the opposite of individualism, which are two opposing philosophical standpoints or viewpoints. So, you know, very interesting fact that he's all about the communal and the group, the hive mind and stuff like this. And he shuns the individual's, the individual's opinions and stuff like that, which is what it sounded like he was doing with Daisy. He was kind of trying to force her maybe into proving herself. I'm not sure what, you know, where he was going with that.
I don't know. In what way?
So he's having these philosophical discussions with her about the experiments and stuff that he's doing. And she talks about how, you know, at the beginning of the episode, she mentions to him that sometimes, what is it? Like a failed experiment is a blessing in disguise, or I can't remember the exact words she used. Basically, he uses the same words later when he kills the Kree. Mm-hmm. But he then decides, after having these discussions with her about, you know, how do you feel about the people that created you? And, you know, again, some philosophical discussions, he then decides, okay, I'm going to call the Kree down on myself. And, you know, you've got to go and fight them, and you've got to do this. And he seemed to be kind of testing her in that, you know, seeing if they're still, to me, it felt like he was trying to also prove Mac's point. Mac's sense was that there was still some of Daisy that was fighting. And
so maybe Hive thought that was the case as well.
Hive might have thought that, yeah, and was trying to see if there was any individualism left in this character, or whether or not, you know, he still held a sway. I don't know. It's what were your thoughts about that interaction? Why was he making Daisy do these actions and stuff?
It's interesting to me that they have these discussions, that he seems to be has some sort of connection, just some interest in Daisy's life and opinions and thoughts. And so I thought, because they did that more, they did that last week as well.
Yeah.
You know, they stood on the hill.
Ward? Is it part of the ward that's in him?
After you kind of explained your little thing, maybe not, but that was my thought as I was watching it. I thought it was more of, it's like he was analyzing Ward's memories of her and seeing how much of that Daisy, or in that case, Sky, I guess, was, still in there. So I guess it kind of felt like a test. I didn't think about it that at the time, but I really liked your explanation.
Oh, thank you. let's see. Yeah, so Hive, I also wanted to ask you, like, why do you think Hive ended up calling down the Kree? We knew he had to get the blood.
Yeah.
Right? But that was kind of his first reaction. It seemed it seemed really risky. In the kind of in the same way, I guess, that Lincoln running his, you know, own experiment on himself seemed risky. But with Hive, I felt there was this hubris, this pride, you know, as a being that had been shunned thousands of years ago and exiled, that he still survived and that, you know, he basically, I felt, he wanted to kind of thumb his nose at them, but I kind of wanted to get your opinions on that.
I agree that on that a little bit. Now, at first when I, you know, when he did it, I'm like, well, he needs the blood, which made a lot of sense. But that seems to be what that device was for, right? Is to calling the Kree down?
Yeah, that was...
Right, summoning them or something.
Yeah, it was like a two-part homing beacon that obviously when they put it together, it was like a radio transmitter, yeah. I guess, or something.
So if he didn't have the intention of calling the Kree at some point, then why even bother getting those two pieces together? You know what I'm saying? Because right. He had them. And right. Not only did he have them, he had them together and ready to go in case he needed them. And he didn't pull it out and turn it on or whatever you have to do to it until Radcliffe said that he needed the blood. But he still had it. So I agree with you. I thought his intention was kind of, you know, vengeance for what they did to him, exiling him after.
Sure.
That's definitely
up there in the top 20 reasons that he had, probably.
So I think that was the reason that he had that in the first place, and calling them at that point served two purposes. He could get vengeance at least on those two dudes, and also get or use their blood. And he does seem very arrogant, very sure of himself, that he's pretty sure that he can defeat pretty much anybody, it seems like, which is, you know, of course, a fatal flaw of many bad guys.
Right. Well, he's also got, I don't study any kind of martial arts or anything like that, but, you know, in media and films and TV and stuff like that, usually you have the way that a student knows that they are ready to go out on their own is when they can defeat the person that trained them, right? You know, Kane from Kung Fu, right? You know, you'll know you're ready when you can grab the pebble from my hand, right?
Right.
And so he talks with Daisy about defeating what made you. And so, you know, again, this is that whole conversation that he had with her where he's kind of prepping her to... Well, prepping her or propagandizing her to be ready for when S.H.I.E.L.D. comes. He knows S.H.I.E.L.D.'s going to come at some point. So he, you know, is prepping her and says, you know, what are you going to do when they come? Because you know they're going to come and this and that. And, you know, finally draws it out to, you know, she's going to rip out their hearts. So he then realizes that he probably needs to defeat what made him. And how he knew that this little satellite of love was still up there with these two Kree in it, you know, is I don't know. Whatever, we can debate that later.
Well, but, he's been around for a really long time. Maybe he, you know, has a lot of information, a lot of knowledge about, you know, how they operate.
Potentially, but I mean, remember he was stranded on this planet for a long time. But yeah, maybe he learned stuff from archives that were on that planet before he destroyed the society. I'm assuming it was a Kree outpost at some point, or, you know, society or something like that on Maveth. But then he ends up ripping out the heart of one of the Kree, or maybe it was really that the heart was kind of the only thing left after Mac vaporized that one. I wasn't really quite sure of that. Anyway, but he picks up this blue heart, you know, so I thought that was an interesting parallel, again, trying to set up Daisy. And Daisy got put into the same position, not really with the people that created her, because I would argue that Coulson and May would be those individuals. But Mac was a good substitute for S.H.I.E.L.D. in this one, and she came pretty close to ripping out his heart as well.
Do you think he would have if they hadn't saved? It felt to me like she was there. She was getting ready to do it.
I Yeah, like the last 15 minutes of the show, I felt it would be just like S.H.I.E.L.D. to tease that they were killing somebody at the end of the season and then kill Mac now.
Uh-huh.
And to have Daisy do that would, oh my gosh, that's just, that would be untenable. I don't know how fans would react to that.
Yeah, I don't think they would.
Your lead character killing off, like, what I feel is a fan favorite character. I mean, I'm sure if there are people out there that don't like Mac, I'd really like to hear from you as to why you don't like that character. Because I feel like he's a pretty popular and well-liked character, that he is the perfect one to die.
Well, and to have Daisy do that, it wouldn't be bad storytelling by any means, but you really would have a very difficult time getting her back as a character in the show that you could use as a hero like they've been doing.
Agreed.
It's almost like, you know, in order to redeem herself from something like that, she would have to sacrifice herself.
Yeah. Well, I think I asked this last week, so I'll ask you again. So do you think Daisy is really lost? Has she, because you know, last week I too felt that there was a little bit of her in there. I can totally see what Mac was thinking.
Uh-huh.
But after this week, I don't think there's any part that is not being run by Hive, but I don't know what are her words and what are Hive's words.
I don't remember what I said exactly last week, but I would say that I'm with you. At this point, I don't think she is in control. I think she's still in there, but doesn't know exactly what she's doing, I guess. And I don't think, without them dampering that control somehow blocking his way of controlling her, I don't think she can do it on her own. She needs the team to do that, at least to give her a little nudge in the right direction so she can take control. At this point, I don't think she can do it on her own.
So if we think about the scene that we saw from the end of the season, that the flash forward that we've seen where there's an explosion on a ship, that it appears to be Daisy's vision because she saw it when she touched Charles the other week. How does that fit in with what we've seen up to this point now?
I still don't know.
Okay.
I don't even know. I mean, I really don't know. How are they going to get up there? Is that the secret? Are they going to take Hive up and disperse him among, you know, in space or something? I don't know. I don't know what the space part has to do with. We haven't really seen anything that indicates it's going there.
I was wondering if distance has anything to do with Hive's sway. Now, we've seen characters be away from him. Daisy was away from him when she went to Wyoming with Lincoln, which I don't know where they were to begin with, it, wherever Malik's place was, but let's assume the East Coast. Alicia, under his sway, had parts of her in different areas. So, you know, it doesn't seem to dampen, but, you know, I don't know. Maybe you take somebody, you know, in a spaceship into orbit or something like that, and he can't control them that far away. I don't know.
Maybe. So. Yeah. Maybe that's why they sent him to Maveth.
Is that anyone that he may have held sway over would have been released at that
point?
Well,
he started on Earth, right?
Right. So if we take the beginning of the show and assume that that is Earth, which I am, and I think actually Hive does confirm that he was kicked off Earth at one point. And P.S. I checked the credits. The character at the beginning is listed as Mayan. That's just the name of the character is Mayan. So, you know, we can assume that's Mesoamerica, you know, B.C. or something like that. So, but yeah, that could be a, you know, one of the reasons that he was removed from there.
Yeah, banished or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, do you think Mac is guilty in or should he be blaming himself for losing Daisy and not recognizing, you know, what was going on?
No.
With her?
No, no, not in any capacity whatsoever. Now, does that mean he's not going to do it with that, even knowing that it was not his fault in any way whatsoever? I mean, she didn't act any different, and he didn't even know Hive could do that. So why would he, you know, be at fault?
Right, and that's May tries to point that out to him.
Right. So I don't know that. I mean, that's kind of how he presents it, but I don't know if his guilt is so much that, you know, he led her into that situation so much as he failed. You know, she was lost. You know, I mean, if a soldier dies in battle, his buddy that had his back, or his commanding officer or whatever, if they feel guilt of that, they know that they're going into battle. They know there's a potential of dying, but they hope that they are strong enough and good enough to save them. And if they feel that guilt, it's because they didn't, you know, it's because they failed. So I kind of think that's what Mac is feeling, more than just that he should have known better ahead of time.
Right. Right.
Even though that's not really what he said, but I that's how I would be anyway.
Right. That's just, he feels like because he's her partner that he has a responsibility to her.
Right.
And he has not been, he failed in that somehow. But again, is there a fault for that? No, probably not. Nah, but
I don't think so. I don't see any fault that Mac did. He wasn't neglecting her. He wasn't, you know, he didn't have his back on her when he shouldn't have. I mean, I don't see anything that Mac's at fault for.
So,
but he's a good guy. So he right. takes responsibility.
So Daisy and Mac have a philosophical discussion as well, kind of about what S.H.I.E.L.D. has done with these people. That S.H.I.E.L.D. has turned her and turned him into these things that they never were. That they've turned them into these soldiers. That he was a mechanic and she was a hacker. And Mac disagrees with her basic premise, which is that, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. is ruining people's lives, I guess, and turning people into something that they shouldn't be, where obviously she is under the sway of a creature that has turned her into something that, you know, she shouldn't be, which I find kind of interesting.
What I thought was interesting was, okay, so you mentioned the philosophical discussion that she's been having. So she had him with Mac, and she also had him with Hive, yeah. Right?
Right, she was kind of getting two sides of the argument, I guess.
But what was interesting is that she was disagreeing with both of them. She was disagreeing with Mac, but she was also kind of disagreeing with Hive in his assessment of what he thought Coulson and S.H.I.E.L.D. was doing to her. So, yeah. I mean, and which was kind of a struggle within her. She's not only disagreeing with both of them, she's also... Well, I was going to say she's going along with both of them, but she doesn't really go along with Mac. She ends up really going with Hive, especially by the end.
Yeah.
Let's see, are we talking? I don't know. I thought it was interesting that she's going to give this blood to Hive. So is she sacrificing herself by giving that? Or can she still survive and have the blood?
Well, I mean, I wasn't. I would think it would be like a transfusion. You know, she gives some of it. It's not, I mean, she said you can drain me, which
right.
would imply that she's going to exsanguinate, but I don't, I, you know.
Well, and I know that he had no love for the Kree and had no problem doing whatever they needed to get yeah, that from the Kree. Sure. But it certainly didn't look like the Kree was going to be ending up alive by the time they were done with those experiments. So
right. Hive has got a weird thing going because there's a little bit of Grant Ward in there. There is a, there's a little bit of, what do I say? You know, he favors her because there's this part of someone that he used to be. So, I feel
is that
like
what it is? Is that's why he has this connection with her? Maybe is because he's got Grant Ward in him,
right? And Grant, you know, is like the last time they saw each other. Like the last thing that Grant knew was basically that Grant still really was in love with her.
Ah,
you know, because he still knew her as Sky and everything like that, right? When they had left, so I think, and you know, the other agent that Grant was working with, you know, kind of looked a little bit like Daisy too, and didn't he have her role play as Daisy sometimes with the mask? I can't remember. I know they had her dress up as May, the agent that worked with Grant Ward, the one that had the burned face and stuff.
I don't remember either.
Yeah. So anyway, I think there's some interesting things going on there, and we probably won't be able to know everything that's going on until the end of the season. Then we can come back and rewatch like these last five or six episodes and probably get new insight into that. But one other thing that I found that was interesting between in the argument between Daisy and Mac was that Daisy says, what we feel is our reality or is reality. You know, so basically, like, your experiences aren't your reality, but the way that you interact and feel about things determines your reality, which... I don't know. That's a pretty interesting statement. What is your take on that? Do things just happen, or are the way that we feel about that thing happening, which one of those is reality?
That is some deep philosophy right there. I mean, honestly, it is kind of what we feel, you know? I mean, otherwise, it's not really real. It doesn't happen for you. I kind of have this discussion with my students sometimes, right? You know, when if somebody says something to them that hurts their feelings, even if like a friend of theirs and they were just joking around with them, or they didn't even realize what they said hurt their feelings, you know, whatever. I said, ultimately, you know, it doesn't matter what was said, but if that's the way it made you feel, we have to address it. So that's kind of what made me think of that. So if that's what you're feeling, then that is your reality, whether it's the truth or not, or whether it's what other people perceive, doesn't really matter because it's real to you.
See, I do have problems with that sometimes because there are so many people that you meet or see on the internet that become offended by things. And, you know, there are people that are offended by something that appears to be completely innocuous. And it's, and you say, and you, you know, if you apply what you just said to them or what you just said to me to them, you know, it's, well, okay, you took that entirely wrong, but if it made you feel bad, well, then it was wrong for me to say that. But what if the intention and the reality determined by 99 of the other people was that, no, there's nothing wrong with this, and one person has the perception that it is wrong, then is it wrong?
Well, now, is it wrong? That's a different question.
Okay.
Is it wrong? It could or could not be wrong, but is it wrong to that person? Is that their reality? Yeah, it is, right? Now, ethically, is that wrong? That's that's a matter of opinion to, I don't want to say the majority, because to each person it's their reality, but if it's ethically wrong to a majority of people, that's what the culture's feelings and beliefs are, right? So in this case, what Daisy is feeling right now really is her reality. So when Mac confronts her and questions her reality, people get very defensive when they start to feel backed in a corner, like what they really feel strongly about is wrong. You know, people that are very, very religious or very, very political, when they feel threatened with those things, they attack. And I think that's really what Daisy was doing there, because she really is, I think she was comprehending what Mac was saying, but because he wasn't fighting back, he wasn't trying to grab her, he wasn't being aggressive towards her, and matter of fact, just the opposite. He was just taking it.
I love you, Tremors.
So I think she was starting to feel that what he was saying had a bit of truth to it, and it was completely opposite of what her reality was. So she was trying to defend her own reality or fight back against that, you know?
I thought his methodology for going about it was great. I mean, he raised his hand. I was going to say he never raised his hand, but he did raise his hand to try to stop her, but he never struck her. You know, he never yelled, you know, epithets at her or anything like that. It was just that, you know, it was a very I don't even know the best word. I was going to say like biblical or religious way to go about it, but you know, he very much like Jesus, right? He was turning the other cheek, and he was professing love, and you know, she continues to beat on him, and he's like, you know, I still love you, you know, however much you're going to hit me and break my wrists and ribs and stuff. So,
you know, having said that, and earlier you had mentioned how they sent, I think, or maybe I was reading this somewhere, how they sent in Coulson as opposed to say, I mean, I'm sorry, why they sent Mac as opposed to Coulson. And because we learned a little bit about Mac's philosophical beliefs earlier in the season, he was the perfect candidate to go in there and almost sacrifice himself because of that.
Yeah, he's very religious based on what we saw. We had the conversation that he had with Yo-Yo at the beginning after the break here.
Yeah, and man, when you're trying to convince somebody of your ideals and your philosophy, not fighting back against them is a really powerful method to get them to really think about that. You know, because when people fight back against each other, when they're very, very aggressive against each other, you're never going to convince anybody of your feelings, right? I mean, when two people are having a fist fight because they disagree, one guy's not going to get hit in the face and go, oh yeah, I guess you are right, you know? So that's exactly, I think, what Mac was trying to do is just really let her understand that what he was saying, he believed, and he wanted her to think about it, you know? So
yeah.
And a very powerful scene.
And you're right, not having Coulson come in there, because as we saw from earlier in the season, that he is just, he can be pushed too far. So, you know,
he even admitted that in this episode. He said that's why they got here in the first place. When he killed Ward.
Yeah.
That's what got them there. That's why they're in this mess. He admitted it.
Well, it is and it isn't. I mean, that's a debate that I think we've had a couple times. Just,
oh, sure.
You know, and it's the same kind of thing with, you know, Mac blaming himself for Daisy. It's like, well, yeah, but it's not completely your fault. You know, it's,
oh yeah. And I'm not saying Coulson shouldn't have gone necessarily. That's just why he made the decision not to go.
Right. Well, we're almost out of time, but the one last thing I wanted to touch on here is just because this is the last episode before Captain America Civil War came out.
It was?
Yeah. Like, did you not pick up on this? I thought the little nods to that were a little hokey, though it did go missed by one of my coworkers. He said, are they doing a tie into Civil War? I'm like, did you not watch the episode? He's like, what are you talking about? And I told him, he's like, no, I didn't. I guess I didn't pick up on any of that stuff. I'm
okay.
Like,
so what was the tie-in?
So Hive gets kicked off Earth because others saw what he could do to Inhumans, which made them afraid. This is a little story that he tells. And he said that bred paranoia, which led to Civil War. So I'm assuming the Civil War of the Inhumans led by Hive versus the Kree led by Mr. Kree. I don't know. And then
Bob Kree.
Bob Kree. He then goes on saying that only billionaires can build iron suits. Only the military can make super soldiers, which can only lead to a war of its own. Oh.
In theaters now.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I'm surprised he just didn't turn to the camera, smile, and twinkle.
rated PG-13.
Yeah. So from what I understand, when we come back next week, even if you didn't see Civil War, it probably will not be that big a deal, but there will be, I will assume, the same type of mention of it. You know, that'll show up.
Probably.
So, well, that's that. A lot of great stuff to talk about. I feel like I could keep talking about different aspects here, and there's a number of other storylines we didn't even like touch on. Just a bunch of other funny stuff. There was a great reference I thought that James gave to that Hive has the whole Ziggy Stardust vibe going,
yeah,
which I thought was cool. And I'm kind of thinking about not just Ziggy Stardust the song, but the, kind of the album and the persona that Bowie put on. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I guess I could kind of see where he's getting that. It doesn't quite match, but you know, it's, he's just, he's being kind of goofy about it, I guess. So,
yeah. And I also, we may get a chance to talk about this next week, but that whole group of soldiers or, you know, SHIELD agents, whoever it was that went in with Mac.
Oh, yeah.
We've never seen those before. So that is, that must be the red shirt division. Because,
well, they actually have names, so they're even more than the red shirt division. They're kind of like, I don't know. I don't know who else that would be, but yeah, I know. Well, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm not sure how long they're going to last, but
they're like
but
Rogue Squadron.
Made it, they, oh, yeah, there you go. They did make it through this episode, which really surprised me.
They, well, the one woman, you know, she wasn't taking any chances because her safety was never on, as she points out. Which was Agent Piper, I think it was. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, I'll be interested to see what they do with these. We've had a couple random SHIELD agents just showing up now and again. There was the one guy a couple weeks ago that his job was just to pass papers back and forth, I think. So, so anyway, I'm really interested to see where they go with this, what they're going to do with Hive, and how we get to that scene in the spaceship. Because I don't see the connections yet, but I'm sure they will be completely obvious when the time comes.
They will get us there. I have confidence.
Well, so hopefully you can you know, get a new laptop from the field office by next week, and we'll be back up to snuff with everything. But until then, that is all that we've got for this week's episode of Agents of SHIELD Case Files.
Yes, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I hope you could hear me through these SHIELD assigned communicating devices here, the iBuds that I'm wearing. But if you did enjoy this episode, make sure you leave some feedback for us on iTunes. And also, we would love to hear from you personally to let us know how you feel about this. Or, hey, if you want to let us know how you felt about Captain America Civil War, I'm sure many of us will have seen that by next week. So let us know. Our email is shield@randomchatter.com, or you can head over to our face or our Twitter, which is @AgentsPodcast, or our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/AgentsPodcast.
And if you guys are good this weekend, there may just be a little Captain America Civil War podcast review coming early next week before the next episode of SHIELD. So stay tuned to this SHIELD channel. Same SHIELD time, same SHIELD channel. You can also check out the other podcasts that Josh and I host, which include Green Justice, an Arrow podcast, and Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast, both available from randomchatter.com. All shows also being available in the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please be sure to tell your friends about us, or as with all the locations Josh gave you, let us know what you think about Mac, Daisy, Hive, what's going to happen at the end of the season here, you know, any other questions you guys might have. So for Agents of SHIELD Case Files, this is Jay.
And this is Josh.
Signing off from Level 7.
This podcast is not endorsed by ABC Television or Marvel Entertainment. The official website for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can be found at www.agentsofshield.com. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and related elements are copyright Marvel Entertainment, LLC.
Mission terminated.